It's hard to stop worshiping our Lord. But it's time for the word. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord this 30th day of December 2018. A couple more days and we'll be in a brand new year. Somebody just reminded me, I didn't remember that I had the awesome privilege and honor of bringing the word on the last Sunday of 2017 also. I'm not complaining. Like I said, it is an honor and a privilege, and it's always an honor and a privilege to see all you beautiful saints of God in the house of the Lord. Here we are again, the end of another year. It's hard to believe this is the last Sunday of 2018, and 2 days from now we'll be in a brand new year, 2019. Some of us have been here for a long time and have seen quite a few of these transitions, some longer than others. Some of you are here as we transition from 2017 into 2018. Others of you may have joined us on this journey during this year, and while also some that started this year with us are no longer with us. The word for today that I believe God wants us to deliver is, the subject is inventory time. Inventory time. Since the word has already been prayed for more than once, we will just dive right in. Inventory is defined by the Free Dictionary as, the noun version is, a detailed itemized list, report, or record of things in one's possession, especially a periodic survey of all goods and materials in stock. The process of making such a list, report, or record. The items listed in such a report or record. And D, the quantity of goods and materials on hand or stock. A second definition is an evaluation of a survey as of abilities, assets, or resources. The verb form of the word is to make an itemized report or record of, or to include in an itemized report or record. So we've laid some groundwork and defined what we're talking about when we talk about inventory. One of the things businesses do at the end of the fiscal year is take an inventory. They may do this periodically in different ways through the year, but most businesses at the end of their fiscal year do what we call a wall-to-wall inventory. The fiscal year may or may not coincide with the calendar year. They start the year with a certain amount of inventory on hand. All through the year, they purchase and either sell or use that inventory, and they are left with a certain quantity and value of products in inventory at the end of the year. Why is this important? The value of your ending inventory helps determine your cost of goods sold, which then helps the business determine the amount of gross profit made during the year. So we see that without an accurate count of the value of your ending inventory, it is not possible to have an accurate picture of how much profit you made during the year. Most businesses, even those that suffer losses, make a profit on their sales. The losses come because the expenses are more than that gross profit can manage. So, no, you do not need to get up. You are in church. There's a Sunday morning service. This is not an accounting 101 class. Okay? However, I think there are some principles that are applicable to our lives as believers in Jesus Christ and his finished work. Okay? So we're going to look at a scripture this morning, and it's in the 12th chapter of Luke. I must apologize to you. I did not get the scriptures to Kim in time for inclusion in the media this morning, but I will be happy to share all of this with you if you so desire. Luke 12, beginning at verse 16, Jesus, they're talking about Jesus. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Verse 20, "But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?' Verse 21, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich before, is not rich toward God." And we'll stop right there at the 21st verse. So we see in this passage in the 12th chapter of Luke an account of a man who was, I would say, pretty satisfied with what he had in his inventory. The passage tells us that he had a plentiful harvest. So he ended the year more abundantly than he started the year. For most farmers, their year is the season. He had plenty. In fact, he had so much in abundance, he did not know what to do with it. If I was a wagering man, I would say that not too many of us in this congregation find ourselves in that position this morning. But I may be wrong. He had so much, he didn't know what to do with it, but there were some problems. Let's just look at a few points from the passage. I had read this passage many times, but one of the things that struck me when I read it recently is that the first point is that the man was already rich even before the plentiful harvest. It tells us in verse 16, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully." So he was already rich. He already had, I would say, all his needs met. But there's a difference in being rich with physical possessions and in being rich in the spiritual realm. As we see from the passage, he had all the comforts of life. He had all the amenities that people think are necessary in order to live a comfortable life. But he was lacking in the spiritual relationship with God. Many of us here look across the street and think, wow, if I just had that, or if I could just do this, or if I just had more zeros behind my bank account, or if I just drove a certain car, or if I just lived in a certain house, or if, then things would be fine. And what God is saying this morning is, if you just focus on your relationship with me, if you just put me first in your life, I promise you, things will be just fine. So he was rich, but he was also spiritually bankrupt. The second thing we see from this passage is that, man, this guy was full of eyes and minds. I lost count. Verse 17 said, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Verse 18, so he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, it's a problem when God has blessed us and we don't give him the thanks and praise and glory he deserves. The scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from where? Comes from him, comes from above. He loves us and he cares for us. But he also desires a relationship with us, and he desires that we thank him and praise him and worship him with all we are and all we have. He listens to us when we come to him, when we need help, when we need stuff, whatever our needs are. He's there to meet our needs. But he's also a God that wants to be appreciated. Just like we as parents just glow in when our kids show appreciation to us. Not for anything big, but just for being there for them. God wants us to appreciate him just for who he is. First of all, just for who he is. And then when he has blessed us, there's nothing worse than us taking credit for what God has blessed us with. I mean, the scripture I read goes on. Jesus told his disciples other things. Do not worry about what your life, what you will eat, the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They don't have a storehouse or barn, and God still feeds them. You see, he cares for us, and he blesses us. But in turn, we should thank him and bless him and tell others about his goodness towards us. And stop taking credit for what he has done for us. None of us is sitting here this morning because of our goodness. Sorry if that burst your bubble. But that's the truth. We're sitting here this morning because of the goodness of the God that we serve. Let's never forget that. What else do we see from this passage? And we just segue right into that. He was full of eyes and minds, and he was a fool. He's talking to his soul, as if he had control over the destiny of his soul. What did God tell him? I didn't call him a fool. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." You see, it's foolish when we don't ascribe to God the things that belong to him. And we try to take the glory and the credit that is due his name. Amen? Scripture says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Foolishness in God's eyes is what he uses to confound the wise. He is so much infinitely wiser than we could ever be. How dare we think that we can outsmart God? We can't. He was a fool. So maybe you're in the process, or you've already taken your year-end inventory and found yourself with an abundance of all the good things God has promised and provided for you. Instead of being like the rich fool we just read about, you should be breaking into praises like the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? Or I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Praise him in the good times. Praise him in the bad times. I admit it's much easier to praise him in the good times. But his word tells us, in everything, give thanks. And guess what? He knows that there will be time. It will be difficult to give thanks. But that's what the word says. So we find ourselves with an abundance this morning. Let's just remember to give him all the praise, to give him all the glory that he deserves. We should always praise God and give him the glory for the many blessings with which he blesses us, and not take the credit for ourselves. In addition, he wants and expects us to be a blessing to others instead of just hoarding all his blessings for ourselves. Gotten pretty quiet in here. You see, the blessings of God, I mean, when he blesses us so abundantly, the gentleman we just read about, he was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns because the other ones were already too full. And he still had more to share. I was watching PBS public television a few weeks back, and they had a story about an ex-NFL player who had retired from playing, and he felt God calling him to go into farming. And he looked and looked and finally found the perfect piece of property. He bought a 1,000-acre parcel of land and started a farm. He never had anything to do with farming in his life. And he called it First Fruits Farm. And the amazing thing about First Fruits Farm is that the first year he planted stuff in time for harvest, he went around the community looking for people to come and help with the harvest. But guess what? Everything they harvested, they took. He did not sell anything. He donated all the produce that was harvested. And the producer told a story about a lady who had gone through hard times, and he donated thousands of pounds of potatoes to the food bank. And this lady had written him a letter saying that she and her family were in real desperate straits that year, and they went to the food bank, and they got enough potatoes to live on. They ate nothing but potatoes, and I think she fixed it like 7 or 9 different ways. But they got through. They got the nourishment that they needed. Here's an example of someone who, instead of looking for a bigger barn, found a way to be a blessing to somebody else. And in turn, what? God blessed him. I was shocked seeing a documentary like this on PBS, actually, because they talk about how he prayed for a tractor, and some anonymous person just wrote him and said God had impressed on their heart to donate a tractor to the farm. It was amazing. I was blown away. But God blesses us so we in turn can be a blessing to someone else. Amen? But what about the rest of us? I would wager, like I said before, that many, if not most of us, have not found our inventory this year in as good a condition as the man we just read about, where we started and we've added and we're looking for ways to get rid of the abundance that we have. And if we found ourselves with a less than abundant inventory, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have caused the condition we found ourselves in, although it may be we've caused it by our actions or our inactions. It may also mean we've just been affected by the circumstances of life. Things happen around us. Some of it we can control. A lot of it we can't. But guess what? We get affected by the consequences even of those things we can't control. No, I feel for the federal workers this morning, because every year I work for the state government, and for the last 3 or 4 biennia, the legislature has waited till the last day of the state fiscal year is on June 30th, and they waited till June 30th to pass a budget. So every year we've had to make plans to be voluntarily laid off. I see Amy shaking her head. HR has had to send us that nice little letters. As of July 1, you will be voluntarily laid off, involuntarily laid off, unless the legislature passes a budget before that time. So I know exactly. I mean, even if it doesn't happen, just the preparation phase is stressful enough. So I empathize with them this morning. That's an example of being caught up in something that's not within our control. But as we look at our inventory this morning, maybe what you find is that your inventory this morning may be full of broken relationships. You may have had some that you started the year off fine, and somewhere down the road, as we walk through these 12 months of 2018, they've been fractured, they've been broken. Well, what I'm here to tell you this morning is that Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 tells us, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Amen? Don't get quiet on me. Ephesians 4 and verse 2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Love is the answer. Forgiveness is the answer. God is still in the forgiving business. And we need to be forgiving to others just as we expect God to be forgiving to us. Amen? Maybe this morning you find your inventory full of frustration. You're just generally frustrated with life, with your job, with the church, whatever it is. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 tells us, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 Come unto me, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Frustration is not from God. And let me tell you a little secret this morning. It will be most, your frustration will reach a crescendo just at the point that God wants to give you that breakthrough. Because as a last stand of the enemy to prevent you from walking into that victory that God has promised. So when you're starting to feel the most frustrated, hang on. Look to him for strength. Look to him for endurance. Because your answer is right around the corner. Amen. Maybe your inventory this morning is full of addiction. In whatever way, shape, or form that may be. Alcohol, drugs, tobacco, pornography, extramarital sex, whatever it is. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." So stand fast. What does that mean? Still. That doesn't mean dashing in and out. That means being rooted and grounded in what God has promised us in His Word. God is still in a miracle working business. I know it's hard for most of you to believe, but I actually used to smoke cigarettes. I smoked for 15 years. But God miraculously took every desire to smoke the day I walked up the aisle and gave my life to Him. So I have a certain empathy. I know how hard it is to get rid of this stuff, but I know God is bigger than addiction. I know that for a fact. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience." Verse 7, "in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." So you see, God has made a way that we can rely on Him, not on our own strength, not on transcendental meditation, but just on believing what He says in His Word. Maybe your inventory this morning is filled with a sense of loss or grief. You're grieving. You've lost your home. You've lost loved ones. I'm here to tell you that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation," in all our tribulation, "that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." It's a package deal. With the suffering comes the consolation. The scripture said He has gone through everything that we go through. There's nothing that we go through that confounds or astonishes God. Amen. Psalms 34, verses 17 through 20. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Not out of some, not out of few, not out of only the bad ones. "Out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken." God is a deliverer. God is a comforter. He's a very present help in trouble. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Let's lean on him this morning. Maybe your inventory is full of lack this morning. Nothing seems to be enough in your life. I'm here to tell you that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." We read in the passage in Luke how he meets the needs of the birds and the creatures. How much more we who are made in his own image. He said he will meet our needs. And I don't think he's waiting for one of us to be his first example of failure. I don't think so. He never failed once. Psalm 37 and 25 says, "I have been young and now am old." I feel old this morning. "Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." God is a God that supplies our needs. Yes, he may not supply all the things we want or we think we need, but he knows what we need. Sometimes we'll reach right on the edge, but right on that edge, he'll supply our needs. And I'm sure if we had time this morning to hear from some of you have been on that receiving end of God's needs when you thought there was no way. Just be encouraged this morning. Maybe your inventory this morning is filled with disappointment. People have disappointed you. Maybe you even felt disappointed in God that he didn't show up when you thought or how you thought or where you thought he should have shown up. You're disappointed in your job. You're disappointed in your business. You're disappointed with your family members. I'm here to tell you that Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Or from Psalms chapter number 42 and verse 11, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." No matter what situation I find myself in, I shall yet praise him. If people turn their backs on me, I shall yet praise him. If people despitefully use me, I shall yet praise him. For guess what? Every disappointment means there's another appointment with God. You see, sometimes, and I've seen this somewhere, not originally with me, sometimes we find ourselves concentrating so much on that one door that's closed that we fail to see the three or four other doors that God is opening before us. Let's just keep our eyes on him. People will always disappoint us. But God never fails. Maybe what you find in your inventory this morning, as you look on 2018, is disobedience. Disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. "So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed to the fat than the fat of rams. John 15, verses 13 to 14. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus speaking, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Yes, sometimes it's not easy, because we have a war going on within us. Constant war between what the flesh desires and what the spirit desires. Let's never lose sight of the fact that we are in a battle. It's a constant battle for our souls. The enemy has not given up. There's areas that we're strong, and he won't attack us in those areas. He attacks us in the areas where we're most vulnerable and where we're weakest. And that's why we need to constantly be in the Word of God and be in prayer and rely on him to give us the strength to be obedient to him and to his Word. Maybe this morning, and I ask the worship team to please come up. Maybe this morning your inventory is overwhelmed and filled with health problems, with sickness. James chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Or 3 John, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God is still in the healing business. Don't listen to what the world tells you. Even if he chooses to use doctors, he's still Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Amen? Or maybe your inventory this morning is filled with hopelessness or lack of purpose. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16 tells us, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Or Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what things look like around you, God has created you and has saved you and has preserved you for a purpose that only you can accomplish for him. I can't accomplish your purpose for you, and you can't accomplish my purpose. So let's take courage this morning. Let's not wallow in hopelessness this morning. Let's believe God for who he says he is. Rise up. Lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Thank you. What an appropriate song to end with, because that's what it all boils down to. Faith rather than fear. Faith in the God that we serve. Faith that God is more than able to do what he says he will do. Faith that we are his children. We have been bought with a price, washed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Faith that is transcendent of our specific circumstances that we find ourselves in this morning. I'm here to bring a word of encouragement to you this morning. That no matter what hand 2018 has dealt you, God is still on the throne. He's still in the deliverance business. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the providing business. He's still in the healing business. Hallelujah. He understands exactly where each and every one of us is this morning in our relationship with him. That's what he desires more than anything else, that we have a personal relationship with him. So if you're in here this morning, you have not made a commitment to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, and acknowledging that he is a Savior and you're a sinner, and accepting his gift of salvation. If you're here this morning and you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, we don't want you to leave without doing so, because that's the most important decision that you could ever make. It's literally life-changing. It's the difference between death, eternal life, and eternal death. Amen. And if you're here this morning and things are less than perfect in your life, regardless of the reasons or the circumstances, God wants to change that this morning. He wants your hope to be renewed. He wants your joy to be restored. Maybe you're a Christian. You've been a Christian for a long time, but you've lost the spark. You've lost the enthusiasm. You've lost the joy of that first experience. He's able to restore that this morning. And I just want you to join hands as we pray this morning and lift up everyone here before the throne of grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, thanking you for bringing us through another year, thanking you for being a God that cares, for God that loves, a God that's concerned about every intimate detail of our lives. And we come to you this morning just as we are, with nothing to offer you but sacrifices of praise. We worship you and we exalt you this morning, for you are worthy to be praised. And we come, Lord, this morning acknowledging and confessing that we have sinned against you in word, in thought, and in deed. And we come asking for forgiveness this morning. Wash us with your precious blood this morning. And Lord, I pray today, Lord, that where there is sickness, I speak healing and health and restoration. In Jesus' name. from the top of the head to the sole of the feet. Healing, healing, healing in Jesus' name. Where there's brokenness in relationships, husband, wife, children, grandchildren, whatever the case may be, I speak healing in those relationships this morning. Bring them back to the fold in Jesus' name. Every trick of the enemy to tear our families apart, we destroy this morning with the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that chains of addiction will be broken this morning. In Jesus' name, by the power of the blood of Jesus and your Holy Spirit, break chains, remove yokes and burdens from your people this morning. Father, where there is lack, we pray you will open the windows of heaven this morning, that your bounty will pour upon your people, that we will not be borrowers, but we will be lenders in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, where there have been disappointments, we pray we will keep our eyes on the divine appointments with you, Lord. For we know you open doors, and your word says you make a way where there is no way. Oh, may we see that way this morning. May we begin to open our eyes and see what you've prepared for us. May we just lay aside what we think our plans are and look to you for what your plan is and what your purpose is for our lives. And as we enter the year 2019, Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we'll have a renewed sense of urgency. We'll have a renewed sense of purpose. We'll have a renewed sense of why you've called us and saved us, Lord. And we will walk into that year looking up to you for direction, looking up to you for provision, looking up to you for healing, looking up to you to build us up, build up our faith. And we just thank you this morning. We pray for our church body, Lord. Oh, may we continue to dwell together in unity and oneness of purpose, Lord. And as we leave this place this morning, Lord, I pray you will dismiss us with your blessing. And may your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us till we meet again. And all God's people said, amen.